Agyanantvarandasya, Agyananjana, Salakaya, Chakskur, Militam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri, Gurave, Namaha. This is from the Nectar Devotion. And apparently, pitiable condition in devotional service may appear distressing to the inexperienced student. But the feelings of the devotee in this pitiable condition are considered to be ecstatic by expert devotees. For example, the subject matter of the Ramayan, is sometimes considered pitiable and distressing to the heart. But actually, it is not the fact. The Ramayan narrates how Lord Rama was sent to the forest by his father just when he was going to be enthroned. After the Lord Ram's departure, Maharaj Dasarath, his father, died. In the forest, his wife Sita was kidnapped by Ravana, and there was a great war. When Sita Devi was finally delivered from the clutches of Ravana, Ravana's whole family and kingdom and Ravana himself were vanquished. When Sita Devi came home, she was tried by fire. And after some days, she was again banished to the forest. All these subjects in the Ramayana seem very pitiable, and they may appear very distressing to the reciter, but actually they are not. Otherwise, why would Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, read daily about the activities of Lord Ramachandra, as described in the Ramayana itself? The fact is that any of the above-mentioned 12 transcendental humor is the devotional service. Everything is transcendentally pleasing. Especially the Ramayana is one of the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna in the human form in the spiritual world, in case you wind up there and you need some directions. Ayodhya is situated above the Vaikuntha planets. Just before, when you get out of the Brahman effulgence, then you take a left and you get to Shiva Loka. And on Shiva Loka, Lord Shiva is there with Parvati and Nandishvara and all his liberated associates. And then if you go a little further, a lot further actually, you get to Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha, there are many varieties of Vaikuntha planets. It's presided over by Lord Narayan in his 24 features. But as Gop Kumara, he went further, because when he was in Vaikuntha, according to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he was the only one who was depressed there at all of Vaikuntha. Not exactly materially depressed. He was spiritually depressed because his complete rasa was not manifested with Krishna. And therefore, Narada Muni told him to go a little further, and he wound up in Ayodhya with all Hanuman, Sugriva, and even Dvivida was there, actually, who later on came, well, whose appearance on this earth, at least partially, was a little inauspicious after some time. He did get Krishna's association, though, personally. In any case, all these monkey soldiers were there, and it was quite ecstatic. It was described how Hanuman was serving Lord Ramachandra in many, many different ways simultaneously, practically. He would take the chamara fan and fan him, then he'd go down and dust off his shoes, then he'd bring some prasadam. So he was so excited about his service, he couldn't do enough of it. He kept on changing one service to the next. And apparently Gop Kumara stayed there for a long time. He was quite appreciative of Lord Ramachandra's beauty, his qualities, his associates. But still, Lord Ramachandra was not the same personality as that cowherd boy in his meditation with a flute, who, as it says, was a rake. Everyone knows what a rake is. Not a rake that you rake the... He's kind of like, what is that, mother, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ashishava padam panashtumam adarshana mama hatam karotuva ita tata vidadatu lampato lampato. So, a lampato, a debauchee. So he was thinking, my coward boy is, doesn't follow the regular principles. He doesn't follow the laws of the laws. He's free to do what he wants. But this Lord Ramachandra, he's so beautiful and attractive, but he's very much strict about Dharma. In any case, he stayed there for a long time and he appreciated Lord Ramachandra. But eventually, Lord Ramachandra himself sent him to Dwarka to get Krishna's association there. So the point is that Lord Ramachandra represents the lila potency of Krishna in the human form, which is especially valuable for us to hear about. Because when we hear about Lord Krishna's appearance as a boar, Raha, or Nrisingadev, or as Matsya Avatar or Korma, we may not be very inspired to go to that place, and I don't know what we do there. The mountain Mandara, which is supposed to be 80, Mandara, I guess, is 100,000 yojanas big, made out of gold. So think about the price of gold nowadays. Think about a mountain 800,000 miles high, made out of gold, and around it's it's quite big. And they needed that mountain, the demigods and the demons, when Lord Tortoise appeared underneath the mountain. They used that mountain to scratch his back. So just see how much effort, how much service is required just to scratch the Lord's back in that incarnation. So what can we do? But in certain incarnations, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, he appears in a way that we can actually relate to it. Of course, this is Treta Yuga. And for the most part, his appearance, even as a human being, is so extraordinary that it's almost like, for most people, it's mythology. Kadamba was, his arms were so long, I think it was something like 20 kilometers he had arms. He had one, he was a demon, who was actually a sage that was cursed. And he had only one eye and a mouth. Not very attractive personality. You won't find him on Facebook. But he had arms 20 kilometers long. And he had his spear, so when Lord Ramachandra met him with Lakshman, on his spear that he was hunting that day, he had one rhinoceros impaled on the spear. He had put the spear through the rhinoceros, a couple of elephants, and a few other animals. They were all on the spear simultaneously. So he was quite a personality. And what he was doing, he was just grabbing things from the forest and just stuffing them into his mouth when he wasn't spearing them with his spear. So these personalities, we may think, well, this is just mythology because we don't meet so many persons like that nowadays, at least not that size. We meet similar persons, but they're a little smaller. And there are other personalities, like we have Marichi, who is flying in the sky, despoiling the sacrifice made by Vishvamrita and his followers. And even Ravana, that he was able to manifest 10 heads, etc. So these are all just persons flying in chariots with mules, powered by mules, talking monkeys, varnas, because Darwin could have done something with that, kind of like a missing link or something. That we just see in your Ramayana, the missing link is right there. And you have, you know, outer space and planets, just like one time Ravana, he went to Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is in Sutala. The doorman there was Vamanadeva. And on Sutala, Ravana came there in order to get the help. He was going all around the universe trying to get support from the demons to fight against Lord Ram. He came there, and Vamanadeva invited him in. And he saw his, I guess they're not really related, but they're he thought, well, here's my fellow demon. So he asked, can I get your support? So he said, I'm sorry, Bali Maharaj said, I'm not really into fighting nowadays, but I will give you a donation. I can't really personally support you, but I'll give you a donation. But you have to take it back with you to Lanka. So he said, no problem. So he took him into this room, and in the room, it was a limitless room, and in the room there was a mountain. And the mountain was made out of gold. And on the mountain of gold, there was these boulders of diamonds. So just pick it up with you and take it back with you. So Ravana, he tried the best he could to pick it up. So although he was known as the lifter of Kailas, where Lord Shiva lived, he couldn't even budge the mountain of gold. So he said, I'm sorry, I need a little bit more exercise. I can't do it. So Bali Maharaj started laughing. He said, oh, you want to fight against Lord Ramachandra, who's an incarnation of Vishnu. Well, I'd like to tell you that in another incarnation of Vishnu, known as Lord Narsingadeva, you also wanted to fight against him. You were Hiranyakashipu. And this particular mountain of gold is actually a ring. And these boulders on top of on the ring, they're the diamonds. So this used to be your ring when you were Hiranyakashipu. Now, you become so tiny and insignificant, you can't even lift up your own ring. And the same Hiranyakashipu who fought against Lord Ramachandra in a partial incarnation of his, and you were killed. And now you want, in this little tiny puny incarnation of Ravana, you want to fight against Lord Ramachandra, and you think you have a chance? Good luck. So Ravana was a little discouraged. He left the palace. And then on the way out, the same doorkeeper, Vamanadeva, who invited him in, kicked him. But although he's a little dwarf, his kick was so hard, he kicked him 800,000 yojanas. But because he was a demon, he wasn't totally discouraged. Although he was a little cautious, therefore when Lord Ramachandra came with his army, he didn't go out and fight him immediately. He sent everyone else to fight him until they were all killed. So this all may sound, in one sense, it's quite all extraordinary, beyond our experience. And it's amazing enough, the 10th canto, which is Krishna as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, at least in the beginning of it, of course there are demons there also, Trinavarta and Palambasura, it's kind of all very mystical and extraordinary, but Krishna is just a cowherd boy, innocent little cowherd boy, and he doesn't do very much. Sometimes he becomes heavier than a mountain and weighs down the neck of Trinavarta, or maybe he puts his hand into the mouth of Keshi and suffocates, expands. But compared to Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga is rather sedate. It's rather mellow yuga. And even the demons there are rather not so powerful as they are in Treta Yuga. What to speak of Satya Yuga? The demons are powerful, the devotees are powerful, everyone's powerful. And things get reduced. But here is Treta Yuga, so it's extraordinary. The amazing thing is that no one has really made a movie out of it. It's like the most exciting movie. That and the Mahabharata, compared to something like, you know, the Ten Commandments, it's much more exciting. I mean, the cast of characters, you know, Marichi and Ravana and Kumbhakarna. I mean, just having a movie just about Kumbhakarna, watching him pick up the monkey soldiers and put them into his mouth and chewing them into fat, and then the fat coming out his ears. He's chewing so many of the monkeys that the fat was coming out of his ears. One time I asked Prabhupada that. I said, could I eat as much as prasadam as I want? And Prabhupada started to laugh. And he said, yes, you can eat as much as you want, but don't fill yourself up to here. But the Kumbhakarna was filling himself so much that it was coming out his ears. That was the monkeys. He was putting into his mouth and chewing them. And these were not little monkeys. They were big monkeys. Thus Kumbhakarna or Kadamba or, you know, all these other personalities who are appearing in the Ramayana would make a fantastic, you know, story and movie. And practically speaking, if you go to, for instance, you go to Thailand, which is a Buddhist country, the temples there are just filled with their own version of the Ramayana. They all worship in all these different Asian countries, or most of them. If you go to Burma, they have huge temples of Lord Ramachandra there. So this is a universally recognized and glorified personality. And eventually, I guess this will be also, in one way or another, received within the Western world. But the point is, when you get down to it, although there's so many exciting things going on in the Ramayana that keep everyone's attention, Lord Ramachandra meeting Sugriva, fighting against Bali. Bali had gotten a mystic power from, I guess, Lord Shiva. The mystic power is that whoever he faced in battle, he get half their strength from. Therefore, he became practically undefeatable. Even one time he fought against Ravana. Ravana came, and Bali wrapped Ravana around on his tail, captured him by his tail, which was quite an embarrassment for Ravana. Some monkey grabbed me by a tail. I couldn't get out. Ravana, the conqueror of the demigods, got captured by a monkey's tail. It was just like he'd rather die. And then on top of that, Bali Maharaj went all around the universe showing Ravana and his tail to all the demigods. It was just like it was too much. Because when Ravana went to fight against Bali, Bali got half his strength, so it was just like impossible to defeat him. So that's why, in the story, Sugriva went to fight against his brother Bali, but it was impossible to defeat him. Although they were both brothers, at birth they had equal strength, but by this boon, immediately he lost half his strength, and Bali got it. So it was just, he was indefeatable. That's the reason why Lord Ramachandra, when he went to fight for against Bali, he wasn't going to stand before Bali, give him half unlimited strength. That would be a little... But at the same time, he didn't want to disrespect the boon. So he hid behind the seven taller trees. And of course, the first time Sugriva went to fight against Bali, then, because they were twin brothers, Lord Ramachandra didn't know who was who. And therefore, he didn't fire his weapon. So eventually, Sugriva got banished, start running back to the place, Kishkinda, where they were hiding, and or Pampa, I guess they were hiding in Pampa. Kishkinda was his kingdom. And then he said, Lord Ramachandra, you promised me that you would help me, but I went to fight against my brother, Bali, and when things got bad, nothing happened. All I got was smashed. What's going on? So he said, well, I could have killed one of you, but I didn't know who was who. So next time you have to wear something, which makes it a little bit more apparent. So when next time Sugriva went and started to yell and shout and challenge Bali, then at that time Bali was completely intoxicated and he was with his wife Tara. So Tara said, something suspicious. Actually, Tara was Sugriva's wife. And somehow or another, it's a long story, but we'll tell part of it. There's one demon, Anadundumbi. Demons had rather strange names back then. Anadundumbi was in the shape of a bull. And he came into Kishkindha one day challenging everyone. So Bali went in and fought with him. Of course, Bali was indefeatable because he got half the strength. So there was a big fight, and it went on for a long, long time, and everyone was outside waiting who's going to win. And finally, some blood came out. There was a big, horrible roar. Some blood came out, and everyone thought, well, I guess Bali was killed for some reason. Sugriva took this boulder and shut the cave, make sure that Anandumbi didn't get out of the cave. Enormous boulder. So after some time, Bali pushed the boulder aside and thought, here I am. I just fought against this demon for the sake of our kingdom. And my brother, he just tried to kill me, take over the kingdom. That's how the material mind works. So he immediately attacked his brother, kicked him out of the kingdom, and then stole his wife. So Tara was, anyhow, the Mauryas and the Varna kingdom were not the topmost at the time. So she was living with Bali. And she thought, something's wrong. Bali, Sugriva just got defeated. He just fled. And now he's coming back, shouting and screaming to fight with you again. I suspect he must have some ally. And this is going to be very difficult for you to defeat him this time. Well, he said, no, I'll just kick him out and again, get him to flee. So he went out and fought with him. But this time, Lord Ramachandra, hiding behind 7 tala trees, shot the arrow, pierced through the 7 trees, and went into Bali's heart and killed him. Because if he would have fought him directly, then it would have been an embarrassment if he didn't give him at least half his strength, which is unlimited. So it was not a very... Lord Ramachandra had to figure out a better way of doing it. Of course, later on he was criticized even by the gopis for doing that. When Uddhava came to deliver the message of Lord Krishna, and the gopis were criticizing Krishna for leaving Vrindavan, one of the criticisms they had was coming from Purnamasi, who had mentioned that in his previous life that he was so hard-hearted that is, Lord Ramachandra, one lady named Surpanaka had come asking for a conjugal relationship. Because in those days, if any lady had asked a kshatriya for a conjugal relationship, the kshatriya was morally bound to agree to it. But it is said that he was so Purnamasi, according to the gopis, told him, that in his incarnation of Lord Ramachandra, he was so lusty after Sita that in order to please her, that even though Surpanaka had come asking for a conjugal relationship, in order to please Sita, he cut off poor Surpanaka's nose and ears. And not only that, he was so hard-hearted and he was such a coward that instead of fighting before his enemy in the way of a kshatriya, he hid behind 7 trees and killed his enemy while he was hiding. So what can you expect of such a personality as that? What can he, you know, to get up and leave poor gopis is nothing for him. He can do anything. In any case, these pastimes are rather extraordinary. And even if we don't understand the deeper philosophical meanings of them, it manifests the potency of Krishna in a way which is actually attractive. Anyone who's powerful becomes attractive. And Krishna's incarnations are always the most attractive. Ravana, although he's glorified, just like any went out and defeated the demigods, still he was rather, compared to other demons, he was rather insignificant. But still he was glorified, otherwise the fight wouldn't have been very attractive. Even Kartavirya Arjuna, who had 1,000 arms, when he fought against Ravana, because Kartavirya Arjuna was enjoying with his women, with his wives in the lake, and Ravana was obstructing the passage of water, so Kartavirya Arjuna grabbed him with his 1,000 arms and put him into a cage, just like a little rabbit, which is quite embarrassing for Ravana also. Insignificant. Of course, later on, Kartavirya Arjuna was also killed, and all his sons, I think he had 10,000 sons, and his whole army was killed in a matter of minutes by Parasaram. So one, the universe is a hierarchy of power. The demigods are somewhere in between. The demons seem to be even more powerful. And above that all is Krishna and his incarnations. So to hear about them, generally it's in the relationship with some powerful demons and personalities like that. Otherwise there's not much fight going on. And if Krishna is only a lover, no one would be very much interested in him. Just like in World War II, I mean, just as an example, the Italians, although they're known to be very romantic, they were not very good fighters. Therefore, they weren't considered a very important country. On the other hand, other countries which were more aggressive are considered to be very much more prominent. So similarly, Krishna is not only aggressive in one sense, or the protector of his devotees, but he's also the most charming cowherd boy. So therefore, Krishna is the most attractive. And although his feature as Lord Ramachandra doesn't have the same romantic qualities, but still is quite romantic. Separation, longing, the Vipralambra Savior is really very much manifested in that pastime. And all kinds of, even more than you find in a pastime, say, Krishna appearing in other forms as Parasaram, or appearing in other human forms like Vamanadeva. The same variety of mellows and pastimes is not going on. It's rich with all mellows and pastimes. It's above the Vaikuntha mode. It's almost in the Dwarka mode. It's almost in the Vrindavan mode, but it's not quite. So it's enchanting and attractive, and certainly appears to the good for the moralists, which is one of the reasons Krishna comes, not only to show his attractive pastimes, but also to show how to live in this material world in a moral way. Because unless one comes to the mode of goodness and becomes a moral personality, then there is no question of being able to come to transcendence. Unless one can come to the mode of goodness by acting morally in this world, unless one can stop the agitated mind by fixing it upon the principles of religion, then there's no question of actually developing the proper mentality for transcendence. So Lord Ramachandra shows both amazing pastimes, amazing associates, amazing opponents, amazing activities. Everything is just extraordinary. And it's all very, wonderful how he is able to fight against so many thousands of rakshasas, and how there's so much lamentation and heroism, and so many different mellows going on simultaneously. And at the same time, he's, mad after Sita. He's trying to be a faithful husband, and etc., etc. So many things are going on there. So it shows simultaneously the morality we have to learn, attractive pastimes, extraordinary activity. So much is woven into the Ramayana that it's become like the favorite book for countless generations. And although in India, for instance, Krishna is revered and respected, but still he's criticized also. But we don't find criticism against Lord Ramachandra. So that's really quite extraordinary also. Because I'm sure there's people in the Ravan camp who complain about it. I was told there were some scriptures who, so-called scriptures that are written, where Ravan is the hero. You know about that? So if you want, you can even join Ravan's camp. A lot of people do. But in general, though, Lord Ram is the hero, and people don't criticize him so much. But Krishna, although Krishna is ultimately the hero, but Krishna is sometimes criticized unjustly because people don't understand. It's more difficult to understand Krishna than it is to understand Lord Ramachandra. But it's not really so easy to understand Lord Ramachandra either. But it's easy to appreciate what he's doing. So I'll stop there. Well, does anyone have anything to add or questions or comments? Thank you very much. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.